What a blessing. What a truth. Open your Bible to the book of Psalms, Psalm 108. Psalm 108. Psalm 108. When you find your passage of Scripture in Psalm 108, stand if you will, and we will read one verse for our message this morning. And that's verse number one. The psalmist said, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praises, even with my glory. Now the psalmist is not saying that, talking about his glory, but he's talking about the glory he gives to God. He'll give him glory along with his singing and giving praises. Now, I want you to notice particularly the statement there by the psalmist when he said, my heart is fixed. Now, I like that word fixed. That's a good Texas word. We know what it is to fix something. And we know what it is when something is fixed. Two different meanings, but very important to understanding this verse. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praises, even with my glory. Father, help me this morning as we look at these verses, this verse, and glean from it the truth that is being set forth by David. Thank you that you have used men to make known unto us your word, that you've used holy men of old, so that the word of God is given to us and for us by divine inspiration. What a privilege we have today to know that we in the word of God, the Bible, our King James Bible, have the very word of God. We can know the mind of God, and the heart of God, and the will of God as we study the Word of God. Help us to come to that place where we too can say, my heart is fixed. We'll thank you, Father, for what you shall do in our services. For Lord, we're asking you now to save every unsaved person listening to our voice. For people who are here today and need a church home, I pray that you'd work on their heart and bring them to that place where they'd come and make this their church home. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to speak to those who's been away. They've been out of church. They've been gone for a while. And I pray that by the Holy Spirit of God and the preaching of the Word of God, you'll work in their heart and bring them back to that place where once again they'll serve you faithfully in your church. Now thank you for loving us and dying for us on that old rugged cross. Help me as I preach, and I'll give you thanks and praise with glory for all that you shall do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The psalmist said, "My heart is fixed." The word fixed as used here in Scripture means to be anchored, to be rooted, to be established. It means something that's unmovable. Our Lord uses the word fixed in the New Testament to show how that He has put an unmovable barrier between the place that was called hell and paradise so that a person could go from one place to the other. In fact, in Luke 16, verse 26, the Lord said, speaking of Abraham, Father Abraham, He said, "Between us," talking about to the rich man, "between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." The phrase, "my heart is fixed," is used three different times in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 57, verse 7, the psalmist said, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Then the scripture that we've read today, O God, my heart is fixed. And I will sing and give praise even with my glory. And then again in Psalm 117, verse 7, the psalmist said, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." When the heart is firmly fixed in faith and love, the tongue gratefully gives praise and glory to our wonderful God. When our heart is fixed, it brings peace to our life. And there's no turmoil or doubt when our heart is fixed. It's disturbing to me today to see the changes that are taking place in religion and especially in Baptist churches and among Baptist preachers. So many today are moving away from God and the Bible, and away from soul winning, and away from holy living, away from from doctrinal truth, and away from repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. For 45 years of ministry, I have written out my sermons in outline form and my lessons, and I have them on file. And I go back and look at them. I can tell whether I've moved or not. I can tell whether my belief has changed. And I'm glad to tell you that I can say today, my heart is fixed. If I have moved in any direction, I've moved closer to Jesus. And I've moved more steadfast in faith and doctrine, believing the Bible is the very Word of God. If I've moved at all, it's closer to the Lord Jesus. In the last days, the Bible tells us that before Jesus comes, there'll be a great falling away from doctrine and truth. The Bible tells us that the love of many will wax or grow cold. The Bible tells us many will be turned to fables. And the Bible tells us that many will be deceived by false prophets. Now what all of that is telling us is there's a great multitude of people in religion who cannot say, "My heart is fixed." You're not going to disturb me with heresy, because I know what I believe. I know what the Bible teaches. Well, I'm amazed at people that are struggling today that don't even know for sure if they're saved forever. They don't know if they had enough faith to get saved, or they don't know if they've done enough works to get saved. What they're saying is, I don't have enough of the Word of God in me to anchor me. I don't know doctrinal truth and Bible truth to the point where I can have peace and certainty. When your heart is fixed, you're established in truth. And the great falling away, even among Baptists and Baptist preachers, is because they're looking everywhere except to the Word of God. They don't have a fixed heart. I know what I believe. I know what the Bible teaches. My opinion is worthless. And the problem is today, people are getting together giving their opinions instead of seeking out truth. Opinions will leave you in as much confusion as you were in before you got someone's opinion. But when you go back to thus saith the Lord, you too can be able to say, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. This will not be said by those who can truly declare. It'll not be said that they've fallen away or they've turned to fables and they've been deceived by false prophets if they can honestly say, my heart is fixed. My heart is anchored in the Word of God. My doctrinal belief is settled. Is yours? Every time you hear some false preacher on a television preaching program, do you begin to doubt? Or do you even know the difference between heresy and truth? Oh, that we might come to that place where we can say, my heart is fixed. I'm happy to tell you today that my heart is fixed. It's established. It's anchored. It'll not be removed from doctrinal truth. You're not going to convince me there is no God. You're not going to convince me that the church is irrelevant today. You're not going to convince me that I've got to work and keep the commandments to get to heaven. Why? Because my heart is fixed. I know what the Bible says. But you know, we use that word fixed another way. When something is broken and is repaired, we in Texas say it's fixed. And I'm glad to tell you that this old broken life and broken heart and wasted soul met Jesus and got fixed. It got born again. I can say with the psalmist today, my heart is fixed. My life is fixed. My faith is fixed. I want to point out five or six thoughts for you this morning in the message quickly. First of all, my heart is fixed on the Bible as God's divinely inspired and preserved Word of God. And I believe we have it in the English language in the King James Bible. I make no apologies for that. I don't believe that God, who gave the original, had trouble translating it to English. I do not believe that we have less than an inspired version in the English language than He gave in the original language. My God's bigger than that. And my heart's fixed on it. I don't struggle. I don't get up and wonder, is this the Word of God? Now, I'll be honest with you. There are versions that I wonder, is this the Word of God? You see, my Bible, the English-speaking Bible, this King James Version has 66 books in it. It has 1,189 chapters. It has 31,177 verses. Not all of them of the versions can say that. Why, in the last revision, more than 200 verses were either changed or deleted in the revision. My Bible has 173,692 words in it. It has 3,566,480 letters in it. And I believe every bit of it's the Word of God. Every bit of it is the unchanging, inspired, inerrant, preserved Word of God for us today. I'd hate to think that God would tell me to preach the Word and live by faith in the Word of God, and He's not given me the Word of God and preserved it for me. When I say I believe the Word of God, I believe this is the Word of God. I don't have to go back and search for originals that no longer exist. If the Bible is inspired and is the Word of God only in the originals, then we don't have the Word of God today. My heart's fixed on the Bible. This Bible. The King James Bible. The English Bible. Is the Word of God. Word of God. You know what's wrong with our country today? We're moving further and further away from this old English Bible. The word that our country was founded on, the principles our country was founded on, the rule of law that our country was founded on, our legislature is legislating today and making laws that are going further and further away from Bible truth and Bible principle. You can't tell me that the decisions they're making economically for our nation is based on biblical principle. And we're in a mess, and the mess is going to get bigger, greater. Life without the Bible creates confusion, uncertainty. Let me tell you what life without the Bible and legislation without the Bible would do. It'll lead a country to come to the place where they'll try to pass a law to tax you on the air you exhale. That's what the cap and trade is. They're trying to do away with the carbon footprint. They're trying to get rid of carbon dioxide. That is what we exhale, isn't it? We breathe in oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide. Trees breathe in carbon dioxide, exhale oxygen. Isn't that amazing how that works together? I never dreamed we'd live to see the day when the cows we own is the problem with our society and our economy and our atmosphere. The air we exhale is our problem. So save America. Breathe in and hold it for 2 minutes. Okay? Hey, when our legislatures had faith in God and the Bible, our country and our laws were so that God could bless us. Today, God would have to compromise with His Bible to bless America as we are right now. Dear God, we're acknowledging and supporting what He says is an abomination to Him. We're making the life of an animal more valuable than the life of a little baby, unborn baby. God forbid. Kill a baby, don't cut down a tree. That's where we are. I want you to know, it would settle the matter if we'd get back to believe what the Bible said about babies in mother's womb. The Bible's pretty clear about that in the book of Psalms, isn't it? My heart's fixed on the Bible as the Word of God. It's needed more today than ever before since the Bible has been in print. And it's being believed less and less and less. To the point where some of you who are here today don't even know for sure what you believe. You don't know what the Bible teaches. You don't come to church enough to have assurance of your salvation. You don't know why believers ought to be baptized. You don't understand why we send out missionaries. You don't know for sure that salvation is by grace through faith, or is it by works? You don't know for sure whether you can have it and lose it, or once you get it, it's forever. I want you to know my heart is fixed on the Bible as the Word of God, and if you'd get into a Bible preaching church and come regularly and read it on your own and quit listening to the opinion of Dr. Spock and Houdini, you'd be amazed how much you'd grow and how much you'd learn. You wouldn't be shaken by the Jehovah's Witness or the Mormons when they knock on your door. You wouldn't be shaken by the Church of Christ or the Pentecostals or the Charismatics, wondering, could they be right? Let all men be liars. Let God be truth. My heart is fixed on the Bible as the Word of God. Number two, my heart's fixed on the local church as the place God has provided for my worship and my service to Him. My heart's fixed on that. You're not gonna get me to the place where I believe that I can come up with my own program. Now, I believe Christ ought to be the head of the home, and I believe Christ ought to be worshipped in the home, but the place for corporate worship is the local New Testament church. Christ ought not be a stranger in the Christian's home. My heart is fixed on the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ established a local New Testament church upon the rock of Himself and has designated it as the place where God has put His name in the New Testament. And it's in that church we're to bring our tithes and offering, and it's in that church we're to come to worship collectively, and in that church we're to go out from to serve and carry the gospel around the world. My heart's fixed on that truth. Jesus said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You say, but that's Peter. No, Jesus said, I say unto you, thou art Peter. You're that unsteady stone. You're the one that'll follow far off. You're the one that'll deny me. You're the one that'll curse. But He said, upon this rock, pointing to Himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My heart's fixed on that truth, that Jesus is the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone of the church. And it's the church that every Christian is to be a part of. Local, New Testament, Bible-believing, and I make no apologies, I believe it ought to be a Baptist church. Because a Baptist church teaches the same doctrine Jesus taught the apostles and told the apostles to teach and give to the church. Paul said in Hebrews 10, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Now the Bible says in the last days there'll be a falling away. But the Bible also says those who are true believers are supposed to be more faithful. Let the doubter whose heart is not fixed fall by the wayside, but we who believe the Word of God and we who have faith in Jesus Christ, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But we're to exhort one another, and so much more. We're to be that much more faithful as we see the day of His coming approaching. My heart's fixed. You know, almost every backslider says, well, I worship God. I can't tell you how many people haven't been to church in months. Well, I worship God. Which one? Who's God? Not capital G-O-D. Not the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, preacher, I worship God in my own way. That's the cry of almost every person who drops out of church. Well, preacher, I'm going to worship God in my own way. God says you don't have a way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I believe that not only means salvation, I believe it means our worship must be according to Him and through Him and in Him. Not my way, but His way. I find no provision or place for God's people in this age to worship and serve God other than the local New Testament church. Nowhere are we told to worship God in our own way. Nowhere. God did not make provision for His children to backslide and drop out of their local church. His provision is repentance and getting right with God and staying in church and serving and worshiping God. Any person who wants to worship God in his own way, apart from the local New Testament church and the Bible, is already backslidden. I just want you to know today, my heart is fixed on the local church as the place that God has designated for His children to worship Him and serve Him in this age. Thirdly, my heart is fixed on heaven as my eternal home. I mean, it's settled. I don't wake up in the morning and wonder, am I saved today? Did I do something in my sleep to undo what Christ did for me on the cross? People get up like that all the time. You know why? Because they don't believe the Bible. They don't read the Bible. They're not listening to people who preach and teach the Bible. They're listening to somebody's ideas and somebody's opinion. That's the reason every one of you ought to bring your Bible to church and open it up and follow the preacher. When the preacher quotes a verse, you ought to check him out in the Bible. My heart's fixed on heaven as my eternal home. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now everybody's going to spend eternity somewhere. And according to the Bible, it's just two places. Heaven or hell. Now let me make this simple. In order to go to hell, you don't have to do one single thing. We're born into this world with a sin nature, and when we get old enough to make our own choice, we willfully sin. So we're sinners by birth and sinners by choice. Every one of us. And because we are sinners, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that word death means to spend eternity in hell forever and ever and ever. But it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life. So if I'm going to go to heaven and not go to hell, there's something I've got to do. I've got to receive the gift of God. Now how do you receive the gift of God? By faith, accepting Jesus as Savior. You say, but isn't there something I've got to do? Yeah, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe whosoever shall call on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Believe that. That's what faith is. Believing, relying, depending on Him. It's not works. You don't have to. You know, when I got saved, I believe I wanted to get saved so bad, and I knew Jesus was the Savior. I believe He had already saved me before I really stepped out of the pew. But I came on down and sealed it by asking Him to be my Savior. I know I'm saved. My heart's settled on that matter. And because I know I'm saved, I know heaven's my home. How do I know that? Jesus said so. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm here to tell you today that I believe, like the Bible teaches, that heaven is a real place just like hell is a real place. Now, here's the stinking thinking that's going on in churches today. Well, I don't believe there is a real hell, but I believe in a real heaven. Yeah, I guess you would like to do that, wouldn't you? No, there's a real hell and a real heaven, and you're either going to a real hell or a real heaven. And the thing that makes a difference between hell and heaven is what you've done with Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you trusted Him? Have you accepted Him? Heaven's a real place. It's not a state of mind. It's a real, literal place prepared by our Savior for all the saved. The Bible says so. It's a beautiful place prepared for the saved. Why, the Bible says there's a street of gold and walls of jasper and great gates of pearl. And Paul says it's beyond anything you've ever thought or imagined or seen or heard. For I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. May I say also about heaven, it's a sinless place. Revelation chapter 21 verse 27 says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You say, well, I'm not going to get in then because I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. But the sinners that are going to heaven have put their trust in Jesus, who have came to this world to forgive our sins and pay for our sin debt. When we accept Him as Savior, our name's written in that book. My heart is fixed that heaven is my home. Is yours? If you've never put your trust in Christ, if you're trying to work your way to heaven, you're going to have a whole lot more confusion before this life ends. But I want you to know you can have a fixed heart, an established heart. You can live without doubt and uncertainty, but only by coming to the place where you accept God's Word as what He said. Believe it. I want you to know the longer I live, the more homesick for heaven I become. The longer I serve God, the more I hate this old wicked world and this old sinful world we're living in. I hate the sorrow and the suffering and the sickness here. I hate the heartaches and the broken homes and the broken lives of our children. I long for a heaven. And that place where there's no more sorrow, no more disappointments, and no more sin. My heart is fixed on heaven as my eternal home. Fourthly, my heart is fixed on Christ's soon return as my blessed hope. But Jesus said again in John 14, verse 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Sorry, folks, a better job is not the blessed hope set forth in Scripture. Cleaner air is not the blessed hope set forth in Scripture. A greater income or a new house is not the blessed hope set forth in Scripture. In Titus chapter 2 verse 13, we're told exactly what the blessed hope is. Paul said, looking for that blessed hope. And then he explains it, the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I join with John and I join with Paul, even so come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. My heart's fixed on Christ's coming as our blessed hope. One more thing and I'll be through. My heart's fixed on Christ as the only Savior for sinful man, including this sinful man. Isn't it amazing how we think that God's got a way of salvation for every other sinner but something special for me? No, if you're going to go to heaven, you got to get saved like every other sinner that's ever gotten saved. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. And you've got to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son who was crucified and rose again on the third day according to the Scripture. You can't get saved not believing the resurrection of Christ. The Bible says so. And believing He died for our sins and rose again on the third day, if we call upon Him, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We believe He'll save us. Now, I don't find any other way in Scripture for salvation. It's not by the keeping of the law. For the Bible clearly says, therefore by the deeds of the law is no flesh justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The more you study the law, the more the law as a schoolmaster points to you as a sinner. But it also points to Christ, who is sinless and who died for your sins. I'd hate to know it was up to the preacher to get you to heaven. I had to get saved like any other sinner. But I want you to know my heart is fixed today that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the complete Savior. And He is the only Savior. And He is an anybody Savior. He'll save anyone who will come to Him by faith, trusting Him as his Savior. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way. The way where? The way to His Father's house. The way to that prepared place. The way to that mansion in glory. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father, Jesus said, but by me. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible clearly states, neither, there's no other way other than Jesus, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now that narrows it down, doesn't it? If Jesus is the only name of the only Savior, then if I'm going to heaven, I've got to come by faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. One way of salvation. The Word of God presents no other Savior except Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, God requires no other. When God saw the finished work of Jesus on the cross, He saw the travail of His soul and the payment of sin. God said, I'm satisfied. All has been completed. God requires no other Savior. And I want you to know, I need no other Savior. When Jesus Christ came into my heart and I believed the Word of God that He is the Savior and I'm saved eternally, I'm saved by grace through faith, I want you to know, it did not bring confusion to my mind. It brought peace to my heart. It pushed away doubt. And I want you to know, my heart is fixed today on the fact that Jesus Christ alone is my Savior. If Jesus Christ can present a wicked sinner saved and faultless before Almighty God, who'd want any other one? And that's exactly what the Bible says in the book of Jude, verse 24 and 25. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. And I just want to say one more time today, my heart's fixed on Jesus as my Savior and as the only Savior for sinful man. Can you say that this morning? Can you? There's people in this service today. You got up this morning wanting to go to heaven, but you don't know for sure because your heart's not fixed. It's not established. You know, God did not give us feeling for assurance of our salvation. He gave us His unchanging, inerrant Word. These things have I written unto you that believe that you may know you have eternal life. He gave us His Word. And those of you that know you're saved and know that it's settled forever in Jesus, do so because you believe God's Word. You've come by faith, trusting Christ. And you claim His promise. A promise so sure that He said, heaven and earth one day will pass away, but my Word will not pass away. And I want you to know today, my heart's fixed. And the trouble going on in your life, the chaos going on in your home, the confusion going on in your mind could all be settled if you'd come to Jesus and believe His book and let Him establish you. Let Him fix your broken heart and establish your troubled life. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Well, I went to this counselor and he said, let me give you some Greek now, phooey on counselors. Oh, there's a place for them. But when a counselor contradicts God's word, he's a phony. He can't help you. Our heart's fixed on the basis of what God has done for us and what God has assured us of in His Word. Is your heart fixed today? Do you know you're saved? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Do you know that heaven's your home? Do you know that that salvation is forever? If not, if there's a question mark on any of those, you can't say my heart's fixed. You don't have peace and assurance. Hey, have you settled the matter that the local church is the place for our worship and service for God collectively as believers? Some of you hadn't settled that because you don't come half the time. You say, preacher, that's blunt. You understood it though, didn't you? Well, if I feel like it. I got news for you. I'm coming whether I feel like it. The only reason I'm not going to come if I'm contagious with something that would make somebody else sick. And if I'm not contagious with some infection, then I ought to come and be contagious for Jesus. My heart's fixed. Is yours? Is yours? Some of you need to make a trip and meet Jesus today. Some of you need to make a trip to an old-fashioned altar and let the Word of God fix some things that are not fixed in your life. Some of you need to come and rededicate yourself to God. Begin to serve Him and live for you, for Him. Some of you need to come and yield to Him and let Him fix all the chaos that's going on in your heart, in your mind, in your life. It's good to be able to stand here with the Word of God and say, my heart is fixed. I don't say that because I'm super intelligent. I can say that because I believe God's Word. I trust God. I have confidence that He is able to do exactly what He said He'd do. Do you? Father, that's our message this morning. I ask You to speak to hearts today. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You that we can be established in the book. We can know what to believe and we can know that we believe it and have peace because of it, and direction and purpose because of it. Now, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to You today because there are some people listening to my voice that cannot say my heart is fixed. They'd like to know Jesus as their Savior. They'd like to know heaven as their home. But there's uncertainty there. There's confusion there. And the only place that they can find certainty and direction is come back and let somebody show them in the Bible what You say on that subject. And then accept it. Believe it. Depend on it with all our heart. Now, Lord, You know people here and You know where the message applies today. You know those that are unsaved and need to be saved. You know those that have lived in doubts and uncertainty even though they hoped they were saved. You know those, Father, that never followed You in believer's baptism and never really got in church. You know those that are backslidden. They've gotten away from the will of God and the purpose of God for their life. You know those that are struggling because they don't believe Your word enough to be faithful to Your house or give their tithes